Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing to look at Easter and specifically considering these three words after Easter Sunday. And as I've said before, I'm asking you to focus on what our understanding of Easter has been and what Easter really means in relation to or according to Scripture. What does Scripture actually say? And I'm asking you to do that in relation to the three words that I've asked you to consider, and that is after Easter Sunday. So I am introducing you to Easter after Easter. And that's what we've been focusing on up to now. And this is what I would like to focus on for the rest of April. So if it seems repetitive, or if perhaps you have the mindset, well, Easter is gone, it's time to move on to something else. Well, that's the very reason why I'm asking you to consider after Easter Sunday, because there's more to what we refer to as Easter than I think even the church realizes. And I mean that in general. I'm certainly not suggesting that there is a lack of understanding by everybody, but I am saying that there is far more to this word than I think most of us realize or recognize. And the significance is for the people of God, and it has everything to do with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us and also for the world. So I'm going to ask you to consider a verse of Scripture, or really a portion of Scripture, as we sort of kick things off today. And then I'm going to go back and we're going to look overall again at what the Scripture says in relation to what we refer to as Easter. But specifically today, we're going to look at Christ our Passover, or Christ as our Passover. And this is communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And I'm going to read this from the King James, and then I'm going to, again, review a little bit of what we've spoken about up to now, or what I've communicated up to now, and we will continue from there. Again, focus on Christ our Passover, but this, again, is in relation to the three words that I've asked you to consider, and that is after Easter Sunday. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 reads, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And this last portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, which says, "For Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed." So it communicates this message that focuses on Jesus Christ as our Passover, or as our Passover lamb, and his sacrifice as the lamb, the Passover lamb. So when we consider what we've spoken about up to this point, it is a point of emphasis that I'd like to again make, is that the word Easter is really the word Passover, and there was great liberty in translating it as Easter, when in actuality it just should have been translated more accurately as Passover, or as the Passover. Easter has no historical basis. The word and what the occasion originally represented has no historical basis in Scripture, and it has it is not actually validated as a Christian feast or a Christian holiday or holy day, if you will, not Easter itself. And what we've talked about before is, I posed the question, what is Easter and what does Scripture say? Well, again, Scripture doesn't actually contain the word Easter. It was just translated as Easter in the King James version. But also, we had focused on an article by a gentleman named Brent Landau, and he's a lecturer in religious studies once again at the University of Texas at Austin, or at least he was at the time of this article. But the name of the article is Why Easter is Called Easter and Other Little Known Facts About the Holiday. So I won't rehash that, but I just want to bring it to your remembrance that that is what we've spoken about up to now. And so once again, I pose the question, what is Easter and what does Scripture say? And that's what we focus on to start out. Additionally, we had looked at and considered Easter in relation to the Passover and the Passover in relation to Jesus Christ. So that is another area that we focused on. And all of this as it relates to our understanding as the people of God and the significance of this day that we call Easter. And so what I really want you to consider, or what I've wanted you to consider up to this point, is what does Easter mean? Not what does Easter mean to me as an individual. Well, you know, Easter's like rainbows and butterflies and Easter bunnies and eggs and chocolate and so on and so forth. No, what I mean is what really what is Easter really about if we understand it in relation to the Scripture? Because if it is celebrated, if you will, and recognized in the context of the church, then the church should know what the church is doing, right? So the church should understand the significance of whatever it is that we do as the church. So God's business is serious business. That doesn't mean that there's not joy. That doesn't mean that there is not blessing. That doesn't mean that we are not a happy people, if you will. That's what it means to be blessed. But it does mean that we ought to be serious about the Father's business. So whatever we do and the way that we identify ourselves in relation to our activity, it should be understood in relation to Scripture, what the Lord says and what pleases God and what it actually means to serve Him. And what has been revealed and what has been apparent, if you have observed at any point, is what Mr. Landau pointed out in his article. And that is that the holidays that we recognize, and specifically he had mentioned Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, they are I won't say that they've become infiltrated, because really the origin is pagan, to be honest with you, or at least it has pagan overtones. These days are very become very confusing because there's so much worldliness that is a part of what we as the church celebrate in relation to our faith. So there is a great degree of compromise, if you will, that has taken place historically and that continues to take place today. So what I'm trying to do is sort of reset this, reintroduce us to what this actually means, specifically in with regard to Easter, and see if we can learn better and do better. And that in accordance with the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible. So we're launching today from 1 Corinthians 5:7. We are still considering the three words after Easter Sunday, but today we are focusing specifically on Christ our Passover. So we have looked at Exodus chapter 12, and we've looked at where the Passover originated. That is, it originated with the Lord and His people, the children of Israel, in Egypt. And this being the case, we focus on, we saw how the Lord communicated and commanded this Passover to Moses and Aaron for the elders and the children of Israel. And this Passover had to do specifically with the lamb, the blood, and then the unleavened bread, which is a part of the feast. So in communicating this, we also talked about how this word Easter had come about and how it was really, again, mistranslated in Scripture, but nonetheless, it focuses on the Passover. So the emphasis is on the Passover. And what we recognize as believers is that the Passover was not done away with. The Passover was actually fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this is why we are focusing on Christ our Passover, or Christ as our Passover, the Passover lamb. Also, it is a feast. It is a festival. It is everything that is done or celebrated or remembered. That's what the memorial is, the remembrance is, in relation to the Passover or the Passover lamb. And the festival itself includes the sacrifice and the meal. And this, again, is a feast. And a feast is not to be something that is a gloom and doom. It is to be something that is celebratory. It should be an occasion of celebration, an occasion for celebration. And this is the spirit in which we should recognize or remember and celebrate the Passover. So this is what I'm asking you to consider when we consider again the Passover, and specifically the Passover lamb and the festival itself. So it is a feast, and we focus on Christ as our Passover. And now what I want us to consider is the lamb and the blood. And what does Scripture say in relation to the lamb and the blood? And of course, we are moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So as the Scripture communicates, and specifically in Hebrews, Hebrews speaks a lot about, again, the superiority of Christ, and how everything before Christ was, it was types and shadows. It was a shadow of what was to come. So it was communicated early on, that is in the Old Testament, in relation to God's people and what would be ultimately fulfilled in Christ, and therefore the New Testament as established in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. So Christ is the fulfillment, and therefore we move from the old to the new, but not totally away from what God has given. We just celebrate that it has been fulfilled once and for all in Jesus Christ. So again, this is who we're focusing on, and this is what we're focusing on, specifically emphasizing the Passover rather than the word Easter. But we are still saying, okay, after Easter Sunday, and if I were to replace that word Easter and say, okay, after Passover Sunday, or after Passover as we understand it in the Christian context, what follows? What is next? Do you wait again until next year and come again at Easter? This is not a pilgrimage, as it were, in the Old Testament, or before this Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is now what we recognize consistently, constantly, because we celebrate and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Passover, or again, more specifically, our Passover lamb. So going back to where we're going to start with, that is the lamb and the blood, and this understanding of Passover overall, as communicated in the Scripture, and then specifically in the New Testament. This is what I want to share with you at this point. So when we look, for example, at the words that have been communicated in relation to the Passover in the New Testament, when we consider the lamb and the blood, and then consider the words of Jesus specifically before his crucifixion, then I think this sheds a lot of light on the significance of the Passover, or what again is referred to in modern day Christianity as Easter. So looking at the lamb and the blood, we look at the scripture that is communicated in John chapter 1, verse 29, for example. And it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So here we have the testimony, which is an eyewitness account concerning the Lamb. Remember, we are focusing or branching out from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, speaking of Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed, okay? And again, our Passover lamb. So we're looking at the lamb, and specifically the Lamb of God. This is the eyewitness account of John the Baptist as communicated in John's account of the gospel. Not John the Baptist's account, but John the Apostle. So we have, again, in John chapter 1, verse 29, the testimony concerning Jesus Christ, where John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And we can go back to Genesis, which is what we had briefly mentioned, but it's just so beautiful the way the Lord communicates what is to come and how he fulfills it. And it's the beauty of God's work, and specifically the beauty of God's work as it relates to our salvation. So if we look then at Genesis chapter 22, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And then in verse 8, again in Genesis chapter 22, it reads, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together." So again, the emphasis here is on the fact that God will provide himself, or for himself, a lamb for a burnt offering. And this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, as communicated by John the Baptist here in John chapter 1, verse 29. And then it speaks of his the offering and what the purpose of his offering is. It is, again, he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, our offenses against God. And this is how this must be understood. But it is so important for us to recognize that God provided himself a lamb. Nobody else was qualified. Nobody else was worthy. But God provided himself a lamb to take away our sin. And that is our offenses against God. So this is the first thing that I want us to recognize as it relates to the Lamb, and specifically the Lamb of God. Christ, our Passover, is or has been sacrificed. So this is who he is. He is the Lamb of God. And we have a problem with sin. We had a problem with sin, and God provided his own lamb. So remember, we're speaking of the lamb and the blood in relation to the Passover. This is what the Lord communicated in Exodus chapter 12, and this is what is fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We also see, as it relates to the lamb and the blood, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, where it says that I'm going to read a little more as it relates to this scripture. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, Peter says in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the emphasis here again is on redemption. So we have the problem with sin. We have the recognition that we were not redeemed. Now remember, Peter is talking to believers. So he's reminding them of the Lamb and his blood. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, not silver and gold, not worldly materials. Nothing that you have, nothing that you own can purchase your salvation. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the scripture points out that he is a lamb without blemish and without spot. That means that he is blameless, perfect and holy, and without any blemishes on him. Okay? And this doesn't mean physically. It means it was manifested physically in his ministry, in his life, and that is his entire life. But it is also a matter of God's testimony concerning him. That is his Father being well pleased with his Son, who is again God's own Lamb that is given or sacrificed for the sins of the world. That is why Jesus came. So although we emphasize many things in relation to Christ and his ministry, please don't lose sight of the fact that the purpose that Jesus Christ came, or the purpose for him coming, is to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And he's provided by God. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son. There will not be a Jesus Christ number two. There's only one Christ, one Jesus, one Son of God, one Lamb of God that is given or sacrificed for the sins of the world, who takes away, carries away our sins upon himself. And he's the only one worthy. So again, we're looking at Christ, our Passover, and his sacrifice, and we're looking at him as the Lamb and his blood. So considering again what has been communicated by Jesus Christ, or in relation to Jesus Christ, concerning his blood and his sacrifice as the Lamb of God, let's consider some of what was communicated in relation to the Passover and Jesus Christ. So if we look, for example, in Matthew chapter 26, we look at Matthew chapter 26, and Jesus says, you know, that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So Jesus speaks of his betrayal and crucifixion in relation to the Passover. And this is consistent throughout the scripture, where Jesus Christ, or the testimony concerning Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is consistently communicating what Jesus is doing in relation to the Passover. And that is something that you can look at yourself, and you will discover that again, this is consistent concerning Jesus Christ and his ministry. But again, Jesus's own words are in relation to the Passover and his betrayal and crucifixion. That is, he is to be surrendered or turned over to those who will crucify him. He will be impaled on a tree, on a stake, okay, on a cross. And when we consider Christ as our Passover, and when we consider after Easter Sunday, as it were, or after Passover Sunday, if we replace that word Easter with the true translation, which is Passover, then we must ask ourselves, do we understand what Christ has done for us and how we are to identify with him in relation to his crucifixion? So his offering then is an invitation for us to join him. And you will find this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Again, looking at Christ as our Passover, the Lamb and his blood. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, where Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So after Passover, the question is, do you identify with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? This is what the Apostle Paul says when he communicates In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul speaks about the crucifixion and how he identifies with the crucifixion of Christ. If you look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So this is what follows the sacrifice or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This Passover, Christ as our Passover, requires us to follow him, to be sacrificed with him, to identify with his sacrifice. And that means that we deny ourselves in order that we may be crucified with him, the Lamb, and his blood, his sacrifice. So this is what Christ invites us into, and this is what we are called to share. That is, we are called to share in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Paul also mentions this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, where he says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So again, he's speaking of boasting. He's saying, "I will only boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this cross, because of this cross, I am crucified unto the world," or "the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world." That means that we have no like passions. Our passions in relation to the world are now, I won't say withdrawn, they are put to death. They're not merely withdrawn, they are crucified. They are nailed to the cross. And this is what it means to be in Christ. And this is how we identify. And so if we are going to boast rather than being determined to boast in ourselves and about ourselves and everything that has to do with ourselves, we must boast in the crucifixion, the sacrifice of the Lamb, and our identity in being sacrificed with him and identifying with him in this manner. So as we focus on Christ as our Passover, then we know, again, in Matthew chapter 26, going back to Matthew chapter 26, we know that the Lord communicated the Passover in relation to himself with his disciples. So in Matthew chapter 26, we know that Jesus Christ kept the Passover with his disciples. You'll find this in the 26th chapter. And we will find that Jesus Christ, as they were eating here in chapter 26, verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is the payment. This is what sets us free from our sins. So Jesus Christ continues in concerning this Passover in relation to himself. And we are handed this from Christ as an ordinance for us. It's not called Easter. It is the Lord's Supper. And this is what is communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul says, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." And he puts it in the context of the night in the Lord Jesus, and the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he speaks of this Passover. And we focus again here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, where Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And this is what I want you to remember, and this is what I want us to celebrate continually. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. And so we've been redeemed, forgiven of our sins through faith in his blood, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's going to do it for today. But until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.